think it's comforting when you start looking at scriptures and you see the Apostle Paul write the same things in every letter he wrote to every church he wrote to. What Brother Greg just read is what he wrote to Galatia. It's the same thing he wrote to the Colossians. It's what he wrote to the Philippians, the Thessalonians. You see it over and over in the Scripture. Over and over in the Scripture. Now let's look here in Galatians 3. And we have that question we looked at last time, the last of those five questions, where Paul said in verse 5, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit," and you know that's God our Savior, that's Christ that ministers the Spirit to His people. "He works miracles among you," miracle of life, faith, hope, love, all the miracles of grace and the things He works in His people. He says, "Doeth He it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Is it through the message that tells you there's something you must do? Is it through your works? Or is it through the hearing of faith? Is it through the gospel of the faithfulness of God in Christ? Those that opposed Paul at Galatia, they used the same argument as those that oppose us today. It's the same argument. They insist that the works of the law must be added to faith in Christ. Works of the law have to be added to faith in Christ. Judaizers then and now, they declare the same thing. They're saying that though it's necessary to believe the gospel of Christ, the gospel's not sufficient unless works of the law are added. And it really doesn't matter what it's for. It really doesn't matter if they say it's to be justified, to be made righteous. Most will say that's not, no. It's Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. But it really doesn't matter if they say it's for that or if they say it's for holiness. Their doctrine's the same. And what they're saying is Christ is not enough. That's the problem. That's the message. A so-called faith that's born out of carnal reason and logic can't believe the gospel. Just can't believe the gospel. The Jews required a sign, and that's what carnal religion requires. A sign, something we can see, works that we can see. Because faith is a heart matter. Faith is something that's in the heart that really only God can see. There's some things that faith does outwardly, but people without faith can do those things outwardly. But people who are the works of the law want to see something outwardly. It was not enough to the Judaizers that the Gentiles professed faith in Christ. That just didn't seem like enough to them. They insisted that they add circumcision and come back under the works of the law and add that to their faith in Christ. But Peter called it tempting God. Tempting God. But true believers are not justified by the works of the law, nor do we live under the law. We're justified by Christ. We're made righteous by Christ. And this is what we preach, the hearing of faith that we preach, and through the Spirit of God, when He brings you to faith, He imputes to us the righteousness of Christ. And Christ has made sanctification to us. Christ is everything to us. So, when you're confronted with this opposition, people say you're against the law, and they'll say, well, if you don't insist believers live under the Ten Commandments as a rule of life, you're against the law. When you're confronted with that, remember what the Spirit of God did right here. Because this is the best example, the best illustration. He went to Abraham. He used Abraham. Moved Paul to use Abraham. This is how a believer is justified through faith in Christ and lives his life by faith in Christ. He says there, he asked that question, did he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? And he said, even as Abraham believed God. And it was accounted or imputed to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Whoever doesn't do everything written in the book of the law, all the law, all of it, he's under the curse. But that no man's justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith. This is those justified by Christ. He's going to give them faith, and they're going to live by faith. They're going to live, they're going to have eternal life by faith, and they're going to live their life by faith, looking to the one who justified us, the object of our faith. And the law's not of faith. They're in two different realms. The law deals with the earth. It deals with men in this earth and transgression. It deals in a carnal realm. It's spiritual. It reaches to the heart, but it deals in a carnal realm. Faith is spiritual. Faith takes you to another realm. You have to be dead to the law before you can live to God. We can't live to God till we're dead to the law, till our life is at God's right hand. We can't live unto God. We have to be dead to the law, dead to our works, dead to our flesh, dead to our sin, and live to Christ. Live to Christ. The law's not of faith, but the man that does the law shall live in the law. Now, I pray, brethren, I know that we hear the same thing going through Galatians because it's same points over and over, but it moves a little further as we go. But I pray we don't ever grow weary of this doctrine and think of it as a doctrine that we learn and we understand. Believers not justified by the law. We're justified by grace through faith in Christ. Now let's move on. I hope we don't ever think that, because turning back to the law and having a spirit of legalism is something we deal with on a daily basis. This is one of the most practical things we deal with right here. We are easily turned from Christ to our own flesh, to our own works, and to look at others. We are. And when we do that, we come under law. We come back. It's like we're trying to put ourselves back in bondage by comparing ourselves with ourselves. We do that so easily. So easily. By becoming critical and doubtful of our brethren. So easily, a brother could do something and come under some providential trouble or do something, fall or whatever, and we're just so quick to doubt their faith. And we don't look on the heart. We can't see the heart. What are we doing? We're turning from Christ back to works of the law. And we're bringing ourselves back into law, back into bondage. But what we see here is so good to go to Abraham. God made Abraham the father of the faithful, the father of all them that believe. Brother Greg just read it. To show us that every believer is justified, we're made righteous the same way Abraham was, and we live our life the same way Abraham lived his. Same rule, under the same rule. That's so wise to use Abraham. That's why God made him the father of the faithful when he made him the father of the faithful. Now let's see, first of all, what was Abraham when God called him? What was he? Paul asked the question up there, said, how'd you begin? Was it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What was Abraham when Abraham began? Let's go to Genesis 12. Hold your place there in Galatians. Let's go to Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. Where was he when? Well, the Judaizers boasted that they were God's children. They were children of God because they were Jews, because they were children of Abraham. But Abraham was not a Jew when God called him. Abraham wasn't a Jew. Abraham was a pagan idolater. That nation wasn't formed until when God brought them to Sinai, when he brought them out of bondage and brought them to Sinai and entered that covenant with them. That's when political Israel was formed. They weren't Jews before then. The Judaizers insisted on outward circumcision and keeping the law of Sinai. Abraham was not circumcised outwardly until 15 years after this. 15 years after this. And what Brother Greg just read, that outward sign, was a token of what God had done in his heart. 15 years before that. In this Genesis 12 right here. And the law wasn't given for 430 years later. What was Abraham? He was a spiritually dead sinner worshiping idols. That's what he was. And that's where he'd have stayed. He'd have stayed right there. If God hadn't, before the world was made, God in sovereign free grace chose Abraham in Christ and elected him unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. If that had not been the case, Abraham would have stayed right there in idolatry and God would have left him alone. But God chose him, and so God came to Abraham. Did he come with the hearing of works, or did he come with the hearing of faith? What did he do? How did God minister the Spirit to Abraham? Verse 1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham." The Lord said unto Abraham. The Lord spoke to Abraham. Abraham's life began spiritually. His spiritual life began by God, the God of glory, coming to Abraham and preaching the gospel to Abraham. That's what the scripture said, what our text said. He preached the gospel to him. God came and he spoke the gospel and he ministered the Holy Spirit to Abraham and gave him life and faith right here. That's what he did. This is not only the way a dead sinner is regenerated to life, this is how a believer follows God. He's given a holy, pure heart, ears to hear, a heart to believe by the Spirit of God. It's not by our works. It's by God speaking. It's by the hearing of God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what we have right here. I don't know if there was somebody God used to preach to Abraham. I don't know how he spoke to Abraham. But it really doesn't matter, because this is what happens when the gospel is going forth. The Lord comes to his child and the Lord speaks. And that's what happened to Abraham. What was the message? Was it hearing of works? Was it what Abraham must do? Or was it the hearing of faith, what God promised to do? Look here, Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing." This is a "I will, thou shalt" covenant. That's an everlasting covenant. That's a covenant of grace. He didn't put a condition on Abraham. He said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth, all nations, be blessed." And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. That was the blessing. This was the blessing that God told Abraham about. It was a person. The blessing was a person. He said, "In thee, Abraham, shall all nations of the earth be blessed." Over, you hold your place there, but in Genesis 15, we see what he's talking about. He says in verse 1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." When Paul tells you, take the shield of faith, he's not talking about faith itself being a shield. He's talking about the object of faith. The Lord said, "I'm your shield. I'm your shield. And I'm your reward. I'm your inheritance." And he said, down at verse 5, he said, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted to him for righteousness. Over in Genesis 21:12, he said, when he was telling him to kick Isaac out, he said in Genesis 21:12, he said there at the end, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He said in Genesis 22:17, he says, in blessing I will bless thee. See there, who's doing the works? In blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Galatians 3:16, if you hold your place in Genesis and go back over there and look, Galatians 3:16, he said, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Look back up there at verse 14. He says, he speaks there of it. I'm sorry, where is it? Right here, verse 17. This I say, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of none effect. What we have here in Genesis 12 is when the Lord spoke to Abraham and made this promise to Abraham, that's the everlasting covenant. He's promising Abraham salvation, and it's in Christ the seed. And then when he says all the nations of the earth will be blessed, he didn't mean everybody in every nation. He meant his elect in every nation. Abraham was called by the hearing of faith. He heard God promise what God would do, not what Abraham had to do. He didn't give Abraham anything to do. He said, this is what I'm going to do, Abraham. He would freely give him blessing. He would freely be an eternal inheritance to him. And that was something Abraham didn't work for. Abraham is an idolater, not seeking God. And God came to him and revealed this to him and made this covenant with him freely. Our Savior said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, what was the result? When the Lord ministered to Abraham the Spirit, what was the result when he did this through the hearing of faith? It said Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham obeyed God by faith. Back there in Genesis 12:4, it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He did what God commanded him to do. And when God speaks in power, that's what we do. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. We get ready to make a major move in our lives, and we like to scout out the place we're going to and try to find out something about it and try to find out if we're going to have a job when we get there, what are we going to do when we get there, how are we going to make a living. Abraham's living was God. Abraham's living was Christ. And he obeyed God and followed the Lord because the Lord commanded him to. He saw Christ, the promised seed. He believed on him. And because, now I know that Christ hadn't come yet. He hadn't laid down his life. He hadn't shed his blood yet. But in Christ, Abraham was righteous. Because in that covenant of grace that was confirmed before in eternity, Christ coveted to come and make Abraham righteous, just like he promised to make all his people righteous. And so, as that message went forth to Abraham, God ministered the Spirit. He regenerated him. He sanctified him, just like he did you and I who believe. He gave him a pure, holy heart to behold God, to see Christ through faith and believe on him. And he sanctified him in heart. He sanctified him in heart, but he also sanctified him from his family and his country and separated him out. That's true sanctification. Purity of the heart, which results in God separating us out. And that's what he did. And all the while he was robed in the righteousness of Christ. Christ was his righteousness, so God, through faith, imputed righteousness to him. Abraham could say what Paul said. Abraham could say, I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Say, well, the law wasn't given yet. Oh, there was a law given already back there in the garden. And that was the law Abraham had broken. That's why he was under the curse. But Christ, his surety, redeemed him from the curse. And he was dead to the law in Christ, though Christ had not yet laid down his life. He was dead to the law in Christ so that he could live to God. That's grace. So how did... Now, once this happened, once he called him out, so he's justified by faith. He made righteous through faith in Christ. How did he walk then? Our text says in Galatians 3:10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. It's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. Having begun in the Spirit, how did Abraham now live the rest of his days? Having been given eternal life in Christ, how did he live the rest of his days? Did he turn and start living under the law? Abraham didn't have the Ten Commandments. Abraham did not have the Ten Commandments. What was his rule of life then? The same as your rule of life is, believer. The very same. God continued to appear to him and preach the gospel to Abraham, declaring the works God would do. That's the hearing of faith. And that's how Abraham worshiped and walked and moved and went where he went. Look at Galatians 12, look at verse 6. Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And what was the result? He built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He worshiped God. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Haon on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And you know what the Hebrew writer tells us? As he journeyed, the scripture says, throughout the rest of his days, here's how he walked. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And here's what he was looking for. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for that city made up of all God's redeemed elect children, whose foundation is the righteousness of Christ, the redemption Christ has accomplished for his people, so that that's a city that can't be moved. It's got foundations. The foundation is Christ. And that's what he was looking for. Abraham, he wasn't somebody that would have argued with you over God giving him this physical land or whether God was talking about a spiritual land. The scriptures tell us Abraham was looking for a city to come. He wasn't looking for a city here. He was looking for that city. And God never gave him a possession in that land that God promised him. He saw what God was saying. He saw the spiritual promises. So through the preaching of the gospel, Abraham was justified with Christ's righteousness imputed to him. He was brought to faith and God imputed Christ's righteousness to him. He's justified. He's made the righteousness of God. He established the law fully 430 years before God gave it. And then he walked according by faith. He walked by faith. The same gospel. God would appear. He'd preach the gospel to him. And Abraham, he'd tell Abraham what to do. That's what Abraham would do. And he walked by faith. He lived looking to Christ. And Christ ruled in his heart when as yet the Ten Commandments were not even given. But even then, Abraham could say with Paul, he could say just what we saw a few messages ago, back in Galatians 2:19. or 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Spirit of Christ made him obedient, even against his greatest fleshly desires. When we think of obedience, this is what God considers obedience. Bearing great crosses that God gives you to bear. You think about this. The Lord called Abraham to deny himself and offer up his only son Isaac. And he did it. By faith, he did it. By faith, he believed that God was able to raise that boy from the dead. He knew that all these promises God had made to him about Christ the seed who's coming to redeem his people was coming through Isaac. And he believed God could raise him from the dead. And in his heart, Abraham, he slew that boy. And all the while, walking by faith, it made him be a witness of Christ. He said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." Think about love that ruled his heart. Lot was with him, and the herdsman got into an argument. And look how faith, the love of Christ ruled Abraham's heart. So that there wouldn't be a falling out, he said, "Lot, you pick whichever land you want. And let Lot pick the best of the land." It wasn't the law that made him do that. It was Christ constraining his heart, the love of Christ. Every sinful thing that he did, and he did some sinful things, that was of his flesh, just like the sin we commit is of our flesh. But every good thing he did, that was Christ living in him, doing his good pleasure in him. So now let's go back to our text. Paul brings this home to us now. Verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." He probably here is speaking to the Judaizers. The Judaizers were boasting that their father was Abraham, and so therefore they were saved. And Paul doesn't argue with them about that. Paul says, "Nope, you're not even the children of Abraham if you're trying to come to God by your works." Being a physical descendant of Abraham is not what makes a person a Jew. That's not what makes a person a spiritual Israel. There's a lot of physical descendants that weren't children of Abraham. Being physical descendants of godly parents is not going to benefit us. We have to have, God has to choose us. He has to send the gospel to us. He has to minister the Spirit to us. He has to give us faith. He has to bring us to rest everything in Christ and to be led of the Spirit of God and follow Him. And then he applies it to the Gentiles. He said the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Not elect in Israel only, but elect in the Gentile land too. And so then they which be of faith, whether they're Jew or Gentile, are blessed with faithful Abraham. I like how it says the Scripture foreseeing. It means foretelling. Did you catch there in Genesis 15:1 when we read it? It said the word came to Abraham. The living word came to Abraham. The capital W-O-R-D came to Abraham. Christ came to Abraham. He's the mediator. And he came declaring the end from the beginning. He didn't say, "Now if everything works out and everybody cooperates with me, then all the people in the world, different places, and my people, different places are going to be blessed." He said, "No, they're going to be blessed in the seed. You shall be a blessing." "I will, and you shall." And it says here, he declared God would justify. Now just hang up right there on that for a little bit. God would justify. It doesn't matter who it is that's saved, who's made righteous. Here's the thing we all have in common. It's God that did the justifying. Men preach about being justified by faith, and they've just latched on to another work and made faith to be the justifying, your act of believing to be what justified you. That's not what justified us. God is who justified us. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. And He did it in eternity when He chose us in Christ. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. They were chosen when He chose us in Christ and blessed us with all spiritual blessing. His people were righteous in our righteousness, in the Lord our righteousness. He justified us when He came and He laid down His life on Calvary's cross and declared it's finished. He justifies us in the court of our conscience when He comes and He purges your conscience. He makes you hear this gospel. He brings you to faith in Christ and He imputes the righteousness of Christ to you. He makes you know you're just before God. That's the first time we'll start living to God. That's the first time we'll turn from dead works. Because what did He say in Hebrews 10? If those worshipers would have been purged, if they'd have had their conscience purged, they'd have stopped offering sacrifices. And when He makes you see you're righteous in Christ, you stop working for righteousness. And He's going to justify us again before everybody in the day of judgment when Christ stands forth and says, I justified them. They're mine. I made them righteous. So we're justified by God. And He said there that He would justify the heathen through faith, not by works. He preached this gospel to Abraham, saying, it's in thee, Abraham. And that said, in Christ the seed that's coming through you, all the nations shall be blessed. My elect and every nation shall be blessed. So, brethren, think about it like this. I was thinking about how could I illustrate it, and the Lord illustrated it. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said He abides in us, and we abide in Him. And He said, through Him we bring forth much fruit. Without Him we can do nothing. If we turn from Christ, and we put something between ourselves in Christ, or something between a brother in Christ, or something you have to add between you and Christ. That's like a peach, a branch in a peach tree being grafted out of the peach tree and grafted into a thorn bush. It's turning back to a different vine. And it's in Christ. It's abiding in Christ with Christ abiding in us. And from Christ, He ministers the Spirit to us. And just like He told Abraham, you go to this land. I'm going to show you where to go. I'm going to tell you where to go. Now go. And Abraham left his country where he grew up, left his family, and went. Because he believed God. He trusted God would lead him. And God led him. And that's how we walk, brethren. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is good. It's holy, just, and good. And the believer now that He's made you a new creation, in your new man, if that new man is truly created in righteousness and true holiness, God can only communicate that to us by saying He writes the law on our heart. But it's a new spirit that He gives you. It's a righteous spirit He gives you, a holy spirit He gives you, to where you delight in everything in the law. You look at the laws, if we could do the law, we would be in heaven. There's not going to need to be a law in heaven. Everybody there is just going to, if we lived in a country where everybody drove the speed limit, and there was no crimes committed, we wouldn't need any laws, would we? If everybody in the land was righteous. The law is an earthy thing. The law is something God gave because of transgression to reveal sin. But when He saves you, when He makes you see you're dead to that law, and that law's dead to you. All the old writers said that. That law is dead to us, and we're dead to it. It's what Paul meant when he said, I'm crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to me. It's why Paul said, why as though living in the world, why as though your life is in this world, are you subject to these ordinances? And really what it comes down to is it's the motive of the heart is what it is. Am I doing this because I love the Lord? Or am I doing this to be seen of men? Am I doing this to put on a good religious charade? What is it? Is it because I love the Lord and the Lord's... And you know how this is, brethren. You can go to this Word sometime and you can't get anything from the Word. But the Lord... He can speak that word into your heart and you're comforted and you know exactly what you should do. It's just clear as it can be to you. That's what we're talking about. That's Him working and leading you of the Spirit. But now if you go to this law and you read, well, I'm pricked in my conscience because of this and that, and the Word says do this, I'm going to start doing that. And I think if I start doing that, God will bless me. We've left the peach tree, now we're back in the thorn bush. We've gone back into bondage. It has to do with the heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I'm not doing it because I'm wanting God to give me something. I'm doing it because God already gave me something. He gave me everything. How can I not want to serve Him? So that's what I'm trying to say. It's only by the vine. It's by Christ. We're taught how to love one another. We're taught how to walk in this world, and we do so looking to Him. Not looking at anything we do for our righteousness, looking to Him alone. I pray God will bless it.